He's giving Dr. Anthony Fauci a bigger role. I'm Dave Anthony. Fox News President-elect Biden has named Dr. Fauci, who has been derided by President Trump on the White House task force, his chief COVID medical advisor. Biden also plans to nominate California Attorney General Javier Becerra to be the Health and Human Services Secretary.
Becerra is the current Attorney General of California. With a long record of defending the Affordable Care Act, Joe Biden has repeatedly said he intends to expand the ACA.
That's Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. Republican Senator Tom Cotton calls Becerra a disaster and wants the Senate to reject that nomination. The man who has the job Becerra could get remains focused on coronavirus vaccines. Fox's Evan Brown has more live.
Yeah, Dave, HHS Secretary Alex Azar says they're ready to start vaccinating once approval from the FDA comes down. And that could be any time after Thursday when the FDA meets to review Pfizer's product.
We'll actually have 40 million doses of the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine this month. We'll use 20 million of them because we're going to hold back as a reserve the second dose that people will need to get.
Now, the FDA meets again a week from Thursday to evaluate Moderna's, a third candidate vaccine from Janssen Pharmaceuticals, is now starting clinical trials. Dave.
Evan, Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani is now a COVID patient, hospitalized after trips across the country trying to overturn election results, but Giuliani tweeted he's feeling good. There's a stay-home order now for much of California. Bars and salons have to close, restaurants takeout only. Angering Angela Marsden, who posted on Facebook video of a movie shoot allowed to proceed right next to her closed L.A. outdoor dining patio. She blames the governor and the mayor.
For every single person that doesn't have unemployment, that does not have a job, and all the businesses that are going under, and we need your help. We need somebody to do something about this.
Another Confederate statue being taken away. General Stonewall Jackson's being moved from the Virginia Military Institute. America's listening to Fox News.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities and...
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store, is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bedliner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bedliners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
For today, partly to mostly cloudy with a high of 75, 55 overnight tonight, 10-mile-per-hour winds. Partly sunny, 78 tomorrow, 50 for tomorrow night. And then partly sunny on Wednesday, high of 75.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the booth today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, and guess what? We're maskless. Are we supposed to say that?
Okay. We're in a safe environment, and everything gets clean.
Safe place.
And 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
We got all that going on.
And we're rebels. So.
And you are a rebel.
It's currently 54 degrees out there, but warming up dramatically. I think we're going to hit about 72 by 1 o'clock today. So dress warm in the morning and shed that coat by 1 p.m. But that's fun. It's about time is all I've got to say to that.
You like this season. You like it.
I do. I like the warm, and so I like 1 p.m. today. It's a little cold for me. It's hard for me to get going, you know. And I know there's winter visitors that are listening, and they're like, "You guys are pansies."
Yeah.
But we got 8 feet of snow, and we're swimming through that. That's why I live here, and so a little bit of frigidity is hard for me.
But you didn't grow up here, did you?
I didn't grow up in Yuma. I grew up in Wilcox, which is on the other side of the state.
Yep,
yeah. Straight across the board on the border of New Mexico. In the corner of Arizona and New Mexico and Mexico, right down there. And so it's colder there. We're a higher elevation. We actually would get snow. Where I grew up, it's surrounded by mountain ranges, so it's in a valley. And so the mountain ranges around us would be snow-capped in the winter. So we could go up to snow if we wanted to and then come back down to the valley and not worry about snow. So it's fun to play with and then come back and don't have to worry about it at the house and shoveling it and stuff like that. But it was a great place to grow up, and so I do enjoy the winter. Like I said, it's depressing when the sun goes down so early and comes up so late. I like the sun. I like brightness, but at the same time, it's fun. It's a fun reprieve from the heat. And if you're like me, I mean, I had the thought yesterday that how quick it was for all of us to be conditioned to this mask thing, and I made a joke about it right now. As I started off the program, it's kind of off the cuff, but I actually had this thought yesterday where when I exit my vehicle, I go into Walmart or I go into this store or whatever, you know, I've had a mask in my pocket or in my hand, and I throw it on before I go into that establishment, and now it's become kind of second nature, and I thought to myself, wow, it's only been about 9 months, since this whole thing went on, where COVID hit our nation, and now we started wearing masks, or there are mask mandates all over the place, and how fast we are to now grab our mask. And now, if you don't wear a mask, it's like you're a horrible person. And in reality, I thought at the very beginning, they were saying, oh, masks are, you know, they don't do anything, and you shouldn't wear them. It's actually worse for you to wear them. And then and then the CDC said, and even Dr. Fauci said, you know, don't wear masks. It doesn't do anything, and it's actually kind of worse because you got all the microbes and the bacteria in your mask, and you're putting it on your chin, you're putting it back up and stuff like that. The chin diaper thing. Have you heard of that? Chin diaper.
Yeah.
So, but now, no, masks are, you know, they're basically mandatory. There's not been a mandate nationally. President Trump says he's not going to do that, if President-elect, or I guess, I don't know if we should call him that yet, Biden is actually put in January, he's said that he's not going to do a national mandate on masks. We'll see about that.
Well, he said he was, he said he wasn't. Then he said he's going to get all the governors together and make them do it.
Yeah, if he lasts to January, we'll see. And I think the governors are going to do it on their own, you know, like Newsom over in California, which brings up another issue. There was a case. This came out, I think, November 29th, so we're talking maybe a week ago, week and a half ago, where there is a denomination in San Diego County that just sued Newsom for his disparate treatment of churches in the state of California. Newsom, when he came out with the mandates, of shutting down again. He essentially did kind of like the New York thing where Cuomo, right. if you remember correctly, and it's still in place right now, if you cross the street into a different zone, they might have higher regulated issues there. Whereas if you cross another street into a different district, then they might have looser restrictions there. And so in California, Governor Newsom, I almost said Ducey, Newsom, he came out with this color scheme. And so by county by county, he gave a color to those particular counties, those that were at most risk, I guess. It's really, there is no rhyme or reason to it, but some are affected worse than others when it comes to restrictions. San Diego County is one of those, and therefore this case that came out about a week and a half ago, a lot of people were emboldened. When I say a lot of people, denominations were emboldened about 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you remember this, Russ, but there was a case that was actually out of New York for a denomination there, and their argument was, listen, Cuomo, you can't just say, because you're across the street, these people can go to church, and we can't because we're on this side of the street. Just because you put these, you know, regulations as far as districts are concerned, what does that even matter, you know?
The church has won.
And the church has won that. Yep. And so churches are emboldened right now, I would say, under the First Amendment. And I would say I agree with that. That case, interestingly enough, when it went to the Supreme Court held 5-4, so it wasn't like this huge landslide. And in fact, Roberts, who was appointed by Bush and who has tended to be more liberal in a lot of these cases, he did side with the liberal side of the court. Because of Amy Coney Barrett, the new appointed...
Yeah, but you like her.
I like her. Yeah. But because of her, it actually went 5-4, and the churches were able to open. Well, I mean, they were... That particular law or executive order from Cuomo was ruled unconstitutional. He later said in a statement that it doesn't matter what they said. We're still going to move forward with the harsh restrictions and things like that. So we'll see what happens with that. But because of that case, a lot of these denominations have been now emboldened because now you've got precedent in the Supreme Court that the First Amendment, their right to religion and freedom to assemble are being affected. And those are fundamental rights, and that's a big deal. There are fundamental rights here that are being pushed or cast to the side in the name of this COVID-19 crisis or pandemic. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we come back. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Listen to Sean Hannity weekdays from noon to 3 right here on 560 AM KBLU. Sean Hannity's brought to you by Liberty Motorsports on Arizona Avenue for all the best motorsports products in the industry, plus your service needs since 1981.
PhD. Professional home doctor.
It's a fact. Pipes burst, faucets leak, water heaters stop working. But it's also a fact that you can turn to PhD to solve these plumbing and restoration problems for you. With PhD, you get skilled technicians, not people who learn while you pay. And since your home doesn't break on a schedule, you can call us anytime, day or night. Call PhD, the Professional Home Doctors, 341-9111.
When you're looking to protect your family, you look for someone you can trust, a company you recognize, someone you know will be there, the best. With over 20 years serving Yuma County, Yuma Pest gives you the peace of mind that your family deserves. At Yuma Pest, we know our community and serve it proudly. With the largest fleet in Yuma, rest assured you'll receive fast, friendly, professional service from a company you can trust. Voted Yuma's best year after year. Yuma Pest.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law. And we were talking right before the break about this, the way that the intricacies between the pandemic and the shutdowns from state to state is affecting our constitutional rights, specifically the right to assemble and the right to exercise your freedom of religion. Go to the church of your choice and to congregate, to hear the word of worship, and even to sing. And I say that because in my own denomination, the very first restrictions that were placed here in Arizona on the denominations were, well, you cannot sing. Well, first, you can't go to church, number one. Number two, when we started going back to church, you can't sing because the spit particles, I am assuming. And then I think that loosened up a little bit right before another kind of, oh, we got to lock things up a little bit more because it spiked again. And so this happened over in California, and they saw some spikes, just like everybody else in the nation, every state in the nation. And so Governor Newsom decided, well, we need to lock down in a certain form or fashion. And so he assigned color codes to different counties throughout California, those that he deemed as the immaculate reigning king of California. He deemed them to be more in peril than other zones or counties, and therefore they needed to lock down even more. Well, in San Diego County, there was a case that came out about a week ago, or I should say a lawsuit. A denomination in San Diego County sued, emboldened by the recent hearing, 5-4 ruling in the Supreme Court against the Cuomo mandates in New York City, that said that you can't be disparate in your treatment of the religions just because one religion's on this side of the street in a zone that might have more restrictions in New York City than this denomination right across the street that's in a different zone that has less restrictions. You can't be disparate in your treatment. In fact, the Supreme Court goes on to say that we as a nation have these governors and these mayors, they have trampled all over the First Amendment, which allows for the freedom of religion and the freedom to assemble. And what they went on to say in that opinion was that it doesn't matter if there's a pandemic. It doesn't matter if there's some other issue that is causing mass deaths and something that is really, really bad. That does not forego the First Amendment. Those are fundamental rights of us as not only human beings, but as American citizens. And there is a reason for the Founding Fathers to include those things within our Constitution. They'd already lived through experiences with the King of England that they weren't able to go and exercise their freedom of religion. If they didn't attest to the Church of England and its dictates, then they were in trouble. And so they'd already lived through this, and that's why it was so important to them to include it in our founding documents, so that we, as a society, would be free to choose our religion, there wouldn't be a government-mandated religion, and that we could exercise that religion without government interference. Well, as we talk about what's happened since March until now, I think there's been some interference by the government, and that's what the Supreme Court was saying. We need to pump the brakes on that because that is not allowed under our Constitution.
I don't see anybody pumping the brakes, though.
Governors are pumping the brakes. We've got Governor Newsom that says you can't go to church because this pandemic. It supersedes anything else. The pandemic supersedes anything else.
I thought he was, by pumping the brakes, I thought you meant he was stopping all the nonsense, but he's not. I mean, they're doubling down.
Sure.
Even in New York, the judges ruled against, and he didn't care.
Yeah.
I'm governor. You can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't understand separation of powers. And that,
what I referred to when I said pump the brake was pump the brakes in the sense that the Supreme Court is saying stop putting restrictions on
right.
the freedom of religion and the freedom to assemble. These are fundamental rights. It's not a fundamental right of you, Russ, or to me to wear a mask. That's not a fundamental right. I can walk around and I can cough on you. You can cough on me. Well, that's Yeah. That's our constitutional freedom and our God-given right, is the freedom to move, right, to move around, not to be quarantined to our home. And when I go out, I don't have to wear a mask, you know. But what's happened is on the state-by-state level, dependent on your political affiliation of your government and your governor, then you might be subject to bigger restrictions that are put on you. Why? Because the governor is part of the executive branch of that particular state. The executive branch is tasked with implementing the laws that are on the books. Now, listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah, but during this time, they gave emergency powers.
Right. So listen to what I'm saying. The executive branch's duty is the power of policing. The police power is what we call that, whether it's on the state level or the federal level. And so when it gets to the state level in Arizona and California and Texas, those governors have the power to police. What are they policing? What are they enforcing? The laws that are on the books at the time. If there aren't laws on the books at the time that address things as going to the Walmart with a mask or going to church and singing out loud without a mask, they really don't have the constitutional power to say, or to create law and say, no, you have to wear a mask. You have to wear a mask when you sing at church. You can't go to church, number one, for a period of time. They don't have the constitutional power to do that. What they have the constitutional power to do is declare an emergency. An emergency such that it suspends all other things, and now they can dictate to us what they think is best for our public health. And that's really dangerous. Up until this point, we've got three separate powers within each state, and even federally, where you've got the judicial branch, you've got the executive branch, and you've got the legislative branch, not only federally, but also from state to state. It's the legislature's job to put into place mandates or rules, right? And that's why we elect people to the House of Representatives and our state senates. So we choose those people to go there, and we choose them because we feel like, okay, they're going to represent our interests. And we're going to send them to the state capitol so that they put into place things that will be better for our society. Now, if they're not doing it, then they're not doing it. And we shouldn't allow for a governor to come in and say, oh, I know better than all you, not only the citizenry, but the House of Representatives in my state, and I know better than the Senate. If he knows better than them or she knows better than them, then they start putting into place these mandates under their emergency powers, which is very, very tricky business, because what that's doing is it's suspending our constitutional rights, which is not good.
It's basically a monarchy, and we chose not to have that in this country.
That's right. And so it's very difficult to challenge that. Not that it's unchallengeable, and now we're starting to see that because of these emboldened litigants from states like California and San Diego County. We have a few denominations that are joining suit, emboldened by the 5-4 decision up in New York, that are saying, listen, we're not going to do this anymore, Governor. You can't, by the stroke of a pen, shut us down, because we have a constitutional right that is better than anything else. It trumps everything, to assemble, to sing in our churches, and to congregate.
Right.
That is better than any other law that you might put together there. And that's really the battle that we're seeing, is the First Amendment rights being trampled on and the policing powers of a governor or from a president. President Trump has said to this point he's not going to mandate masks. He's not going to mandate like a king from a throne through his executive emergency. He has emergency power as well under the Constitution. He has war powers as well that he can invoke if it gets to that point. But he's not going to do it. He's shown that he's not going to do it, and he hasn't done it, and he's not going to do it. If it is a Biden administration, I say that's an if, because we just don't know. Right now it's contested in Georgia, Michigan, yeah, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Nevada. And so the path to the Biden administration, if that comes to fruition in January, is still contested. And so we don't know. We don't know if it's going to be a Trump administration moving forward. We don't know if it's a Biden administration at this point. We'll see as the litigation moves forward. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we come back from the break. Before we go to break, I just want to remind the listeners, if you don't have something in place, we're living in some perilous times. And I don't want to sound like doom and gloom here, but if you don't have anything in place right now that would allow you to lend your legal authority to the ones that you love, and I'm talking in the hospital or in the healthcare situation or even at the bank. We call these powers of attorney, durable powers of attorney for finances. You've got healthcare powers of attorney where you can lend your authority to those around you that you trust to make medical decisions on your behalf. If you don't have something like that in place, or it's been a long time since you've looked at it, call my office and we can help you look at it. We can tell you, okay, look, this is good or it's not good, or there's been some changes here in the law. It's time to update this. It's a really good thing to look over your planning from time to time, about every 2 to 3 years. Look it over, make sure those people that you have in place are still the ones that you want. And we can help you do that if you call my office or even go online to yuma.law, and you can schedule a free consultation with myself or with my partner, Sean Garner, and we can look over your planning that you have. If you have it, you don't have any planning, then let's get started and let's get something in place, because the reality is if you go to the hospital or a loved one goes to the hospital and they don't have these things in place, it makes it very challenging. If you get to the point where you just can't make decisions on your own behalf, now you're in a predicament, and we've got to go through court procedures to get authority for those people that care about you so that they can make those decisions. And that should be avoided. And it can be easily avoided. If you just call my office, we can get you on the right path. Or go online to my website, yuma.law, and get the process started. Also on our website, right on the front page, as you browse there will be a link that says Watch Now. And that goes to a video that I put on there back in March when COVID-19 hit and the pandemic shutdowns came. I put a video on our website for all those that are looking for the right information as to what needs to happen, how do I get my affairs in order. What I find is oftentimes people feel overwhelmed so much when they think about getting a last will and testament in place or a trust or a power of attorney drafted up. They feel overwhelmed. They think that they have to gather all this paperwork up, they have to gather all this stuff together, and they just don't know where to start. There's so much information out there. Start at my website, yuma.law. Click on that little video and watch it. It's about 30 minutes, but it'll put you on the right path, and you'll know by the end of that video, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to move forward this way, or I want to move forward that way. There's all sorts of different ways that you and your family can get planning in place. We've got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM, KBLU. We'll be right back after this.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
It's the policy of KPLU to provide equal employment opportunity to all qualified individuals without regard to their race, color, religion, national origin, sex, age, disability, sexual orientation, or any other characteristic protected by law in all personnel actions. If your organization distributes information about employment opportunities to job seekers, please contact Star Favreau at KPLU by calling 928-344-4980 or write to her at our address, 755 West 28th Street, or check our website, kplam.com, for more details.
They
held your hand on the first day of school. They've been there for every important milestone in your life. Now it's your turn to be there for them. As the area's only non-for-profit hospice, Hospice of Yuma works to ensure that your loved one receives the quality care and attention they deserve. If you have a family member diagnosed with a terminal illness and are feeling overwhelmed, we want you to know that you and your family are not alone. The community's best hospice care provider is only one call away. For more information, contact Hospice of Yuma. Your community, your hospice.
El Dorado Broadcasters is searching for creative problem solvers to join our team of marketing professionals where we help businesses be more successful. Here's what it's like when you make a career working with El Dorado Broadcasters.
I'm Donya Weeks. I've been with the station 4 years now. The best part of my job is working every day with local small business owners, helping them promote and grow their businesses and participate in local events that not only celebrate the Yuma community, but also help keep it close-knit and strong.
Apply online at edbroadcasters.com/careers.
At Nationwide Vision, for a limited time, get 50% off a complete pair of eyeglasses. That's great style at 50% off. Taking care of Arizona's eyes for 35 years. Nationwide Vision. Service subject to cost. See store for details.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the booth today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. We've been talking about constitutional issues and things that have been coming up in our national news as of recently. Russ asked me over the break if I've got my Christmas lights up, and I don't know why he asked me that question, but I think he's trying to guilt me into
The Bah Humbug thing, like Ebenezer.
Or maybe it's just my own my own feelings when you that invokes when you ask the question, do you have your Christmas lights up? Okay, no, I don't. I've been hearing this from my kids. I don't need to hear it from you, Russ, okay? Dad, when are we going to put the lights up? Yeah. We're not, kids. I hate to break it to you, but we're not putting lights up. If you want to put lights up, go for it. Cannot stand Christmas lights. And then I forgot that I've got packed away in our Christmas box because I'm the laziest light putter-upper. Because inevitably every year when I put my lights away, this is what used to happen in the past. I put lights away, and when I pull them out the next year, half the strings are, out. Right. Now I've got to do that search thing where which bulb is out because the rest of them are out. It's like constant. I've got to untangle these things. I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. Okay, we'll decorate the inside. I'm not a complete Scrooge. I've got my tree up. I bought it, and put it up. It's got the lights on it already. Great. We've got decorations in the house. But on the outside of the house, I just don't get jazzed for that. And it's just because over time, or year after year, dealing with these lights, pulling them out and fixing them, I hate it.
I think Chevy Chase made a movie about you.
That's right, Christmas Vacation. I was like, I told my wife, I bought it on iTunes because I was so excited. You kids got to see this. And she's like, we can't show that to the kids. I said, why? And she's like, don't you remember that movie? I said, no, that's why I want to watch it with them. I just remember it was really funny. So she will not allow me to watch it with the kids. I guess we have to watch it ahead of time and see, maybe there's something in there. I don't remember. It's old. A lot of these movies that we watch now, some of my favorites, like Goonies and Christmas Vacation, things like that. As a kid, I watched them all the time, and I loved them, But now that I watch them as an adult and I have kids, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I watched that movie. How did my parents let me watch that movie with all the cursing and all these things? Oh, my gosh, I never picked that up as a kid. I guess we're just, luckily for us parents, hopefully. And this goes to a conversation I had with a lot of my family yesterday at dinner where we were talking about, don't you remember when I did this to you? This was a parent talking as a child, and the kid's like, no, I don't remember that at all. I'm like, really? Like, you don't remember? It was traumatizing for you. And there's two or three situations where they brought these things up. We did this, we made this decision, and we thought it was for your good, and it was traumatizing for you. And in every situation, the now adult child was like, I don't remember that. So I think kids are, at least this is what I tell myself, as bad as I am as a father, my hope is that, like myself and all those other kids out there that eventually grow up, our memory of that bad stuff just goes away. I don't know why, but I think that's God's way of, keeping us protected.
They're
as
resilient.
Children. Yeah, they really are resilient.
Yeah.
Getting back to those Christmas lights, I was talking about how I asked Russ, I said, well, what about lasers? And he kind of looked at me puzzlingly. puzzlingly, and that's what I went to. So like I mentioned before, I'm a lazy outside light putter-upper. I just don't want to do it. And so when lasers became available a few years ago, where I was walking down the aisles in Walmart, and they have these laser things. They look like a spotlight, but you plug them in, and lo and behold, thousands of lights appear on your house, and you just stick it in the ground, and it just points at your house and lights it up. And I'm like, that's my type of Christmas lights. I just stick it in the ground, plug it in,
and I'm done.
One extension cord.
Okay.
And so lasers are what I've retreated to. And as I go around these neighborhoods, you'll see those that are diehard light putter uppers. You know,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, kudos to you, man.
They look
kudos
fantastic.
To you. And I automatically know that person is better than me, obviously.
At that.
Yeah, at a lot of stuff. They are a better individual than I. And then I'll see those lasers. I'm like, that's my kind of guy. That he and I, man, I bet you we'd be best friends. He's like, I'm not doing these lights. I got lasers. It's like the laziest thing you can do. You just stick it in the ground, plug it in, and then you feel good about yourself. Like, I decorate. Look, I put these lights up. Yeah, you literally just stuck it in the ground, you plug it in, and you got Christmas, man. And I feel great about that. I checked the box, okay?
I didn't know it was such a sensitive issue.
Yeah, you really, that was something. You hit a nerve, man, I'll tell you what. But I want to just say, I was the one in my household that after Christmas, I said, let's get this tree up. And it's not because I'm a good person. It's just because I didn't want to be nagged about it. So I tried to be proactive this year. And I feel good about that. And it happened. And we put up our little scraggler. And it was evident that this thing's a piece of junk. We've had it for years from place to place. And now it's just, it looks horrible. And it was embarrassing. And so my wife went to Target, and all the trees are gone except for one that was on display. And so she came home with that one. And it's a good one. It's a good-looking tree, but they're expensive, you know.
Officials have gone way up.
Yeah, and
but
especially now.
The quality's good.
Now is the time not to buy a Christmas tree.
Yeah, this would be a bad time.
Yeah, but like everything else in life, you know, that's my life. That's what we call the Hanson luck. And so that's our life in the Hanson household when Christmas comes. But I am happy to say that we're ready for presents and things like that. We've got that all taken care of, and we're excited for Christmas to come. So now we can actually focus on the purpose of Christmas, which is Christ's birth. You know,
right.
That's good. And we got all the present stuff out of the way. Getting back to the constitutional issues that we talked about before, where we've got this case out of California, San Diego County, so it's pretty close to home, 2.5 hours away. Where we've got a church that is, they're pushing the envelope when it comes to pressing Governor Newsom and on his COVID-19 related pandemic shutdowns. Like I mentioned before earlier in the show, we've got these counties that have been assigned a particular color, and that color is meaningful in his system, such that if you're a certain color, that means that you have higher restrictions than another color in that spectrum. And we talked about the constitutional issues that are being brought forward regarding the First Amendment rights of the freedom to religion, number one, that there won't be a government-mandated religion, that we as individuals have the fundamental right under our Constitution to exercise our religion as we see fit, without, free from government intervention. We also have the freedom to assemble and to do so peaceably, and that was something that the founders baked into our Constitution because of experiences they'd had back in England under a dictatorship, under a king rule. And so we ought not just cast that aside, even when, I know this sounds really horrible, and I was talking to Russ about this over the break, that I know people personally that have died with COVID-19, and it's heartbreaking, it is. And I hate to insert the word but, but as far as the general population go, I don't think there is a big enough reason that I could ever think of, pandemic included, to to suspend the absolute constitutional right and of freedom of religion and the freedom to assemble.
Do you think that's a harsh thing to say? I mean, you're being very cautious about it. But
I'm being cautious because I don't want to gaslight somebody. I don't want to...
There's those out there to believe we should shut the country down. It's so
yes.
harsh.
I'm being cautious about it, Russ, the way that I'm trying to phrase this, because I personally know families that mm-hmm. have experienced passings of loved ones
sure.
that died COVID-19 positive, okay? Whether you believe that, I truly believe that COVID-19 does cause death in certain individuals. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I think it is a catalyst. Is it the only thing? No. I don't think COVID-19 necessarily is a killer. And I say that with, I'm not trying to be incendiary. I'm not trying to be mean or insensitive. That's what I'm trying to say is that I'm trying to say this in such a way that I do believe that COVID-19 can kill in conjunction with pre-existing issues that might be in place.
Right. Particularly that. Yeah.
Yes. And that's what the data is showing us.
But we shouldn't have shut down our whole lifestyle, our country, and suspended our rights.
That's what I'm arguing for, yes.
That's
especially
fair.
Fundamental rights.
Right.
Fundamental rights. I feel like, personally, I believe that humans, we as individuals, as children of God, have the ability to make decisions on our own behalf. We have the freedom to choose, especially in this country. Especially in this country. We have the freedom to choose whether I feel like my immune system is compromised to such an extent that I need to lock down and quarantine in place in my house, or if I can move about and go to Walmart and shop. I feel like every individual, every family is unique, and they have the ability, the God-given ability, to make their own decisions. And if I don't want to compromise myself, then I'm going to stay in place. What about the rest of us? The grand majority of us are not in that situation, and we ought to have the ability to move and to do our life, right? Do we still have a caller on
we
the line?
We do.
We've got a caller on the line. You're live on the air.
Oh, yes. I just want to give a quick comment. Now, I understand your point, and it's very uncomfortable with what's going on with COVID. It's affecting many people. But it's a small sacrifice that we'd have to take, and I understand. I get the whole thing about freedom of gathering, freedom of religion. I get it. But if I'm not mistaken, you know, religion should be a private thing. You can still practice at home. Doesn't mean you have to congregate for this. In just my opinion, I do believe in, you know, there should be some sort of sacrifice in order so we can curb this pandemic. I understand that the reason that some organized religions, they don't want this to happen, you know, to stop, you know, the garden congregating, because it's profit driven. And that's all it is, and bottom line. So that's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, but there you go.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. And I totally respect your opinion. And coming into this morning as I was driving into town to get prepared for this show, I had the thought, you know, why was it that this particular... Why are these denominations so up in arms? Because really, from a non-secular point of view, secular point of view, you would be saying, well, really, it's all about the money. Because if they can't assemble, if they can't congregate, then how are they going to raise funds? How are they going to pay the pastor? Most religions rely heavily on donations. And those donations come from physically going and hearing the pastor being uplifted, or that ecclesiastical leader. They're being uplifted such to the point that they're moved to give something. Because they want others to experience what they've experienced, whether they felt something inside deep down in their heart. So they want others to experience that, and so they feel compelled to give.
Sure.
And so is it all about the money? I would say no. I belong to a congregation that doesn't operate on money. It has money, lots of money,
mm-hmm.
but that's not because of our ecclesiastical leaders being paid. I belong to a religion that it's all volunteer. So it's called a lay ministry. We in our congregation are asked to do things, and you can say yes or no, you know, when the ecclesiastical leader asks you that, but even that ecclesiastical leader is not getting paid. We're all people from the community, and we're actively working together. There is no money being exchanged. However, we do pay a tithe, We pay a tithe to our denomination because we feel like that is a commandment from God, that he says, you know, I'd like one-tenth of everything that you bring in. Everything I give you is from me. I'm just asking for 10% of that for the building of the infrastructure. And so that's personally what we believe in my denomination. And so it's not about the money to us. And that's why coming into this, to give the listeners some point of view, it's not about money to me, because in my denomination, there is no money. We pay money to the church as a tithe, but that money is not for paying people. It's for paying for electricity and buildings around the world. It's for paying for the needy and those that need help, that kind of thing. But I can see the perspective that, oh, really, these churches just want their money through donations, because there are a lot of churches that operate off of that. Specifically, we'll talk about this a little bit more as we come back from break. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM, KBLU. We'll be right back.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, you, my Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808-99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Do you know exactly what you want this holiday season? A new wardrobe or maybe a new shiny accessory for the bike? But maybe it's time for a new Harley-Davidson motorcycle to make its way under the tree. Whether big or small, Bobby's Territorial Harley-Davidson wants to prevent forced holiday smiles this year and are here to make it easy to own the holidays, Harley style. And they're offering free gift wrapping while supplies last with an in-store purchase. That's at Bobby's Territorial Harley-Davidson, 2550 East Gila Ridge Road in Yuma. Or give them a call, 928-782-1931.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. With 64 years of industry connections to have products in stock when others can't. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, pushing buttons and turning dials, and it's like Willy Wonka's factory in here. I don't know what he's doing. He's doing a great job. And right before the break, we talked about the freedom to assemble, the freedom of religion, and these constitutional rights that we have baked in because of our founding fathers' feelings that these were so important. Our last caller brought up a good point. You know, he said, do you really have to assemble physically in order to worship? He said, I believe that I can worship at my house. And I think that's true as well. I would go on to say that I, having experienced it in my house during the lockdown and experiencing it when it opened up a little bit, we were able to go back to church for a little bit, a few weeks there. It was night and day, the feeling that I had when I went to church with others of the congregation. We were separated, you know, we had our precautions that were in place. We had face masks. But just to be together as a congregation, to talk about things that we've come to know in our lives together, that helps and it uplifts other people in a way that not congregating will not ever do. We have to congregate to uplift each other. And that's the point of ministry, and that's the point of assembling and worshiping together. We've got Jesse on the line. He's very familiar with religious issues. Russ tells me he knows him really well. So, Jesse, you're on the line. What do you got to say?
Well, I agree 100% with everything. I just wanted to throw a dimension at you. I believe that freedom is a spirit, not a word. And so one of the great things about the lockdowns that I see, it's showing the weakness of the Christian church here in the United States, or maybe around the world. We have failed to teach freedom. We have to, Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So when the state says, no, you can't congregate and you can't worship, we learn that the Constitution is only as good as the paper that it's written on. Unless it's a spirit, it can't be strong, because our freedoms can be taken away on a whim. Like, let me give you an example. You use the word Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes comes from the Greek state, the city-state. They weren't a nation-state. They were a people, a Greek-speaking people, but they used the word ekklesia, which was a church. The funny thing about our church, the ekklesia, that you had to be a free man to congregate. You had to be a free man. The slave could not be a member of the ekklesia. He could be a policeman, he could be a counter, he could be a servant in the ekklesia, but he could not be a voting member or could not express his opinion in the ekklesia. You had to be a free person. And that's one of the things I'm finding out in the church. We're not free. We say we have the right to freedom of religion, but we don't. You have to exercise that spirit. Like the Apostle John said, test every spirit to see if we're really free or not. That's what we're learning. So there's a silver lining in the lockdowns. We're learning that everything our parents told us, that this is a free country, it's not. There's more to it than just saying it's free. You have to exercise your freedom, or else you're not really a free person.
Well, we're fighting for it, Jesse. I appreciate the call, buddy.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I am so appreciative of our founding fathers allowing us to have that freedom. But if that freedom can go away if we don't continue to fight for it. And
yeah,
that was,
every person has to exercise his freedom, because he's really not free unless you say, I am king, I am free.
That's right. And if we sit here and allow for governments to dictate to us how we are to assemble or not to assemble and things like that, or how we're going to worship, to interfere there, then we are giving away or we're seceding our freedom to the government. And that's what I'm arguing for. So I totally agree with you. And I'll tell you an experience that I had years ago. Right after I graduated from high school at 18, in my particular faith, oftentimes individuals will go on what we call a mission. And the mission usually lasts about 2 years in duration. And you don't know where you're going to go. You go in and you have an interview to determine your worthiness. You know, are you living the gospel the way that we live it in our particular faith? And once you go through that interview process and you submit your paperwork to the head of the church, and then they pray about where you're supposed to go, and then they issue a call to you. And when my call letter came back, I have no idea where I'm going, and I can accept that or I can say, no, this isn't for me. When I got that call letter, it said Spain, and to the Canary Islands of Spain. And so I didn't even know where that was. I was like, well, where's the Canary Islands? I don't know. You know, I'm a dumb kid from Arizona. And so as I went over there, I was really shocked, because I grew up in church. To me, church on Sundays, when I would go to church, it was a three-hour-long meeting every Sunday. And there were hundreds of people in my particular congregation. I was in a small town, so we had two congregations. We had to wait to use the church building because both congregations had hundreds of people, and so just for the ease of administration and things like that, my particular congregation would go at a certain time for 3 hours, and then the other congregation would come in behind us, or we would flip every other year kind of thing. And so that we I knew of hundreds of people, you know, in my community, which was a small community, that went to my church every Sunday. But when I went to Spain, to the Canary Islands, my very first Sunday there were 7 people in the congregation, besides myself and my companion, the other missionary. And my stomach just knotted up. I thought, what's going on? Like, what am I supposed to be doing here? Where is everybody? Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. It was on this remote island and then off the coast of Africa. And there were 7 people in church that first Sunday. And I thought to myself, I can't do this. You know, like, what am I supposed to do here? And through that experience, but going through that experience and having been there with whether it's 7 people or hundreds of people, we were together regardless, whether it's in a remote island off the coast of Africa, or it's here in Arizona, or it's in California, or it's over in Japan, we congregated. And that experience there, yes, I had feelings of inadequacy because of what I was asked to do, which was to grow those 7 people to more, which was overwhelming to me as a 19-year-old, you know, that barely learning the Spanish language. But it was a task that I felt like I could perform because of the feelings that I had that particular Sunday. Whether it was hundreds of people or a few people, I felt connected. Because the gospel, as I practiced it here in the United States, was the same gospel I was practicing there with 7 people on a remote island in Spain. And so, regardless, I knew that I could get that job done because of the feelings that I felt were from God, that was empowering me to do what I needed to do. What I started to understand was that, to me, and I think this goes to what Jesse was talking about, church, when we talk about a church, to me, church is not a place, it's a people. It's wherever you congregate, whether that's 2 or more people, and you're talking about Jesus Christ, that is the church. It could be in a building. So I'll give you an example. That same place that I congregated in Spain that particular Sunday, my first Sunday there as a missionary, with 7 people in the congregation, was on the bottom floor next to an Audi dealership of a high-rise apartment building. I'd never experienced that in my life. Here in America, our churches are buildings. They're separate buildings. They're all over the place, and they're big, and they're established, and they're brick and mortar. And they have gyms in them. They have, you know, all these facilities. And to be in the bottom rented out space of an apartment complex that was next to an Audi dealership that had, you know, the reason I bring that up is because I really like the Audis. Like, I'd walk to this church and I'm like, oh man, that's a beautiful Audi TT, you know. But I just thought it was completely odd. And I started to understand that church is not a place, it's a people, where people gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, that is the church. And I agree with Jesse in that sense. And I think that's maybe what he was trying to say. And maybe, sorry if that's not what you're saying, Jesse, but that's what I understood you to say. That's what it invoked in my mind was, you're right. It's not a place, it's a people. But we've got to be able to gather in order to talk about the things that we've come to know and the experiences we've had in our lives, because what that does is it emboldens other people. It lifts them up. Those that are experiencing real trials in their lives, and there are, they need that. They need the ability to be lifted up. And maybe we can do that. Maybe we can help them. Do we have to do it physically? I think so. Can we do it digitally through an online Zoom meeting? Maybe. But I would prefer to do it face-to-face. I prefer to put my hand on somebody's shoulder. I prefer to show them my facial expressions as I'm talking to them, to show them that I care, and I'd like to see their facial expressions as well. And that's, I think, the freedom to assemble and the freedom to worship in the United States. This has been another edition of Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be back next Monday. Keep it real, Yuma.
I want to know more about something that was discussed today. Please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the one-hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU.